second scripture is from the 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Pray with me. Engage now our hearts, O Lord, by the work of your Holy Spirit, that in your bounty of sharing we might enrich our lives, be united in your will and purpose, and proclaim as your people of faith. And we ask all these things in the beautiful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We start a series today of a theme known as United. In 1968, there was the United Brethren Church and the Methodist Church, and on a stage in Dallas, Texas, two individuals walked across and shook hands, thus acknowledging the uniting of the United Methodist Church. It would seem as if you and I know what United means doing things together, not separate or against each other, but in partnership and in work of the gospel. In a little community of which I was a superintendent, in a place called South Webster, Ohio, if you've ever driven through the town, right in the main strip of town, on the right side of the street, there's a United Methodist Church. On the left side of the street, there is a United Methodist Church. The two refuse to walk across the street to be with each other because it's not their church. The one on the right side had about 8 members. The one on the left side had about 38 members. Well, you get the idea that probably both churches could have housed all of them together. Ironically enough, there was a small church outside of town that burnt to the ground. That small group of believers looked at the cost of trying to rebuild and decided it was too expensive in the modern day to build a church equal to what they were used to, and therefore they chose to unite with a neighboring church. So they drove into the middle of South Webster and they joined the group with 8. Now there's 18 on the right side and there's 38 on the left. Is there a story about being united in that picture? Sometimes you and I have a hard time actually seeing that we're in unity together as a body of believers. Paul, to the church at Corinth, is speaking about the necessity for us to be united. Jesus, when he prays for us in John's gospel, acknowledges that we would be one. As God and Jesus are one, so we would be one together. This theme of unity isn't a new concept, and yet you and I would recognize that we live in some very divisive times. Sometimes it's over issues. Sometimes it's over denominations. Sometimes it's over political choices. Sometimes it's over race. Sometimes it's over you name it, you know it. We're pretty polarized. It would seem as if most of us like hands and not feet, because we would exclude one or the other instead of recognizing we're together. This coming week in the calendar of Christian movement is known as Christian Unity Week. It's a time in which all denominations and all faith communities are to exchange with each other, to build partnerships together, to do a variety of things. You and I would be reminded that we have many opportunities to experience that kind of unity with other churches, not just in a holiday week, but in every week of the Christian year. Now, I don't know how many of you caught this in Greg's announcement, but he mentioned a gentleman out of Madisonville that's been doing work with kids for 40-some-odd years. You know what's really going to be cool when we do a partnership with the Madisonville folks and this gentleman? He's a member at Gaines United Methodist Church. So guess what? We'll be together. United. Sometimes it's strange how we get drawn together. And it's not always out of plan or purpose. Not too many days ago, I watched an email exchange happen between St. Paul's United Methodist Church that's reducing the number of weeks that they're able to house IHN, the Interfaith Hospitality Network, and therefore a partner church with them, a Roman Catholic church up on Montgomery Road, is looking to find another church to partner with because they can't do as many as they did with St. Paul, and they want to help with that. There are folks like that. So guess what happened? They made contact with Larry Broad, our director, and all of a sudden, we are now going to have a Roman Catholic partner with us in the 4 weeks that we house folks here every time. Again, another picture of unity instead of divisiveness. And in the day and age in which there are so many things that would divide us, the Apostle Paul would call us to understand what it is we share together. And if you looked at the end of the passage that I had Diane read for us today, it identifies the very reason why we are united. The verse said, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Not about our personal wants or desires or wishes. Not about our own needs or advantages. The Spirit is offered to us in the church as a people that would be together for the common good. It would be as the church in Acts decided to share all things in common. It was a nature out of which they were consolidating their resources to do the most they could for the common purpose of God in our midst. The church at Corinth was likely one of those communities of faith early on that were very divided. There were some in this group that spoke in tongues. They found that a spiritual gift, and there were a few that were a little put off by that. Paul, elsewhere in the letter to the Corinthians, is speaking to them that just because you can prophesy or speak in tongues or do a variety of talents or gifts, it does not mark you as better. All those gifts are given for the common good. One Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Isn't it ironic that it is almost harder for us to see what we share in common than to see what we're different from others? And oftentimes, when we approach others, we find ourselves left in this struggle that they're different, therefore they're not part of us. When in fact, the hand can't say that to the foot or the ear, to the eye, or any other distinct part of the body, we are united. Paul teaches the church at Corinth. There are some other actions that happened in Corinth that likely were a part of the socioeconomic nature of the church. There were those who were very affluent, and when they gathered together, they brought stuff to eat. They shared in that banquet table together with bounty, but unfortunately, they left some of their hired help at home to do tasks left at home. All of a sudden, they were eating and drinking, and when those folks got to church, there were only leftovers. Does that sound like some of you that attend Faith Infusion? on Sunday morning? No, don't say amen. Every now and then we get a little ahead of that service and we tend to eat more than our fair share. So what did Paul say to the church? He told them to wait on one another, that they'd be united together, not eating separately, or some being able to dine at their home in luxury while others were dining in scarcity. No, it was to be a collective table. Did you notice this prayer that we prayed together in its imagery of grain scattered in the field and grapes across the hillside, and how they're united together to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ? You see, that's a gift that's not given just for a few exclusive that could eat and drink on the delights of Christ. No, he gave that body for the common good, Paul calls it. That nature that it is a gift to all of us to be shared freely, not exclusively, to not allow others to not have access to that power and privilege of what it means to be able to hold hand with another and share in that watchful keeping. It is, if it were, a message to the church today, but Paul wrote these words, some 2,000 years ago, to a church that was also in a political environment that was exclusive. There were some that liked to boast that they were circumcised and they were Jews. And there were some who claimed they were Greeks, and therefore they had been exposed to other faiths and other religions, and therefore they knew God better. Neither one knew God exclusively. God would be seen in both Jew and Gentile, slave or free, male or female. All are one in the body of Christ. Distinct members, granted, but all united into one purpose. Wouldn't that be some kind of church today? Some kind of people that are not simply left in exclusion, left in opportunity not to experience what it means to be folded into the body of believers, included and able to accomplish far more than we could do alone? Paul's petition to the church in Corinth would almost be as if he wrote the letter today. You are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. A variety of activities, but the same Lord and the same God who initiates all those things. This is a powerful message, an opportunity that you and I would no longer stand exclusive, but would stand in a unity and a plan and in a purpose of God. We'll explore what it means to be united, but I want you to experience it in a very clear and distinct way. You made the effort today to get to church. I don't want you to have a chance to go home without knowing somebody else made the same journey with you. How do you do that? What would really be cool, I think, with the number we have today, that during the final hymn, after we've sung that hymn, we figure out how we make a circle around this sanctuary. Some of you are going to probably have to go in the middle of the pews, okay? We're going to let the Wisners and the Camps be the last row here. So lift your hands, okay? That's the starting point. So fill the circle in from there around. So if you're behind them, get up on the sides. If you're in front of them, move out so that we can all be facing around. And by the time we're done, we're going to be one united circle. Not individual members left in a pew, but united by one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I hope in this series you'll begin to discover what things we share more in common than what we share separate. Forward through the ages. Give them that hymn. They'll know the tune.